Some weeks back, we touched on the declining popularity of the pitch invasion. And as we speak, young people are asking,
Daddy, Daddy, what's a pitch invasion? Can I get that in me Game Boy?
Like road bowling and the pronunciation of the word committee as committee, the pitch invasion was popular in isolated pockets of the country. Some clubs had a carefully nurtured reputation for producing pitch invasions of staggering intensity. They were born into it. It was their 16th man. As you know, a good umpire is better than a bad corner forward. While a reliable cohort willing to invade the field was better than a good entire full forward line. All it took to inspire a storming of the Bastille was a wrong decision, a high tackle, or a bad thought. In dead thunder. Deranged extras from Braveheart. A few would loiter at the rear, but not for reasons of cowardice. No, they were the ones wrapping their false teeth in their handkerchiefs. Hold on, lads, the missus will kill me if I get these yokes broke. They were a non-discriminatory, non-party political force. Everyone was a legitimate target. Their scattergun approach was calculated to spread mayhem. The acclaimed academic study from the south of the country, namely, come in here and say that to me face. Pitch invasion since the beginning of time, depicts the pitch invasion as a random act of public disorder, devoid of purpose, and often counterproductive to the goals of the invading club. This, of course, is utter nonsense. The pitch invasion was ever a tactical innovation, deployed only when the masters of war sensed someone needed what would now be termed a wake-up call. Their own team, the referee, the opposition, the divisional board. Every pitch invasion had a message upon it. On they would pour, swinging fists and cracking down elbows into skulls and slipping the boot into prostrate members of the other team. A grand bit of diversion entirely. Frothing at the mouth, eyes dancing in their head, and the fresh out of last mass where they had presented themselves as models of Christian restraint. Young boys skirted around the action, transfixed by the pageantry of it all. The protagonists would range all over the field, picking off victims at every turn, before eventually encountering the opposing team's invaders coming from the far side of the field. It was here the real action took place. The referee would stand back and let them at it, knowing there was no prospect of prosecuting the guilty parties, even if he wanted to, and generally he didn't. Every man wore a long black coat and an unprepossessing hat on his head. The women too. They'd all look the same in an identity parade. All good things come to an end, however, and eventually they'd run out of steam and a semblance of order would be restored. The parties involved would retreat to their previous positions, let a roar at the referee to get on with it, ref, it's getting late, and the match would proceed as airily as if nothing more sinister than a light summer shower had occurred. The medic would run to stricken players to check on their well-being, but like, no one got hurt. Really hurt, in the broader sense of the word. Unless you count a dislocated jaw, a few missing teeth, and a lifelong scar. If you count that as hurt, well, there's nothing we can do for you. Now, out of me way till I put the false teeth back in.